There's a place in your day for Stella Doro. Stella Doro. Stella Doro. There's a place in your day for Stella Doro. Stella Doro knows what's good for you.
Breakfast is the place for nice light things, like crisp anisette toast, or breakfast treats, or Roman egg biscuits. Stella Doro puts a good breakfast on your table by keeping the butterfat out. You'll never know just how good it is until you try it.
There's a place in your day for Stella Doro.
Richard Hayes and Ethel Ennis, the Godfrey Men and Jerry Alters. Today, the 3rd of April, marks the first of the last 27 days of this era. And my dear friend, a very attractive, beautiful lady and very competent woman in Bryant, Ohio, who runs she's the president of her own agency, Ann Stahl Associates. They handle the
Etch-a-sketch
account, yeah. Anne gave me an idea. Said, the last 27 shows, why don't you start with this year and work backwards so that the last show you do on April the 30th will be talking about the things that happened the year you started.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go back, every day we'll go back a year, all the way back to 45. 1945... When we started, I was 42. And that was a very good year. It was a very good year. But this is 72. And now I'm 68. And it's a very good year. It's a very good year for taking stock of days gone by and looking round for a better line when I am 69. Let's see what happened in this year. Can we remember the Olympic Games in Sapporo in Japan? President Nixon gave the order to proceed to duplicate a spaceship designed to shuttle easily from Earth to Earth orbit and back again. And I can't think of anything we need more. And President Nixon went to China, met with the premier, and Howard Hughes proved that Irving was a big liar. And this is the year that I like to remember. I think we will remember this most for the fact that the U.S. and the Soviet Union announced an agreement to pool our efforts in a fight against cancer, heart disease, and environmental problems. And for my money, that's the important thing. So, we begin now the last 27 days. Ethel lets you and I open.
Okay.
We got this arrangement from Jerry Alters, who made it specially for us. And I think this is a good time for us to do it. I wish you could see this arrangement, dear friends. It's about 9 feet long. And I'll be bringing it in, folding it over like that. Hopefully not making too much noise. You can't hear that, can you?
Sure.
Thank you. I double dare you.
To what?
Lend me your ear. Take off your high hat. Come on. Let's get friendly. Don't be a scarecat. Hey, what do you care? Can't you take a dare? I double dare you to kiss me, and then I double dare you to kiss me again. And if that look in your eyes means what I'm thinking of, I double dare you to fall in love with me. I double.
And I redouble.
What?
Well, I mean, if you care, then you're going nowhere if you're only going to double dare.
Did you say if I care, I ain't going nowhere if I'm only going to double dare?
That's what I said. If you care, then you're really nowhere if you're only going to double dare.
Well, a double.
And a double.
And redouble.
And redouble.
And a double.
And redouble.
And redouble. Jerry, we enjoyed doing that arrangement. Tell you what you do. You get yourself a bag of Lipton tea, make yourself a nice cup of Lipton's flow-through tea bag tea, and join us. That's what I'm drinking here. And I think some of the boys have got some over there, too. Lipton's flow-through tea bags are what we use. It isn't double the flavor, double the tea, but it's double the flavor for the reason that the design of the bag is such that more water gets to more tea quicker. And if you'll be so kind as to boil that water and pour it on that tea bag when it's a boiler, first having really made that cup good and hot, too, pour some boiling water in that, let it stand for a minute till the cup gets so hot you can't touch it. Then dump that out, put a tea bag in there, Lipton flow-through tea bag. Pour the hot water on it, the boiling water, and then you'll have a cup of tea. You will have a cup of tea. Lipton tea, the brisk tea. Well, let's see, what else happened in this year that we ought to remember? Oh!
Hmm.
We've finally gone full circle. Bloodletting is now being tested as a preventative of coronaries here in New York City.
Oh, you mean like back in the Robin Hood days?
Yeah. Huh? George Washington, as a matter of fact, probably died as a result of putting leeches on him.
Got to turn the faucet off.
Yeah. Back in those days, they used to let blood every time anybody had a fever.
Mm.
That reduced the fever and hastened the end. But now we're getting full circle and medicine is going back to testing it again.
Something else happened, the past number of months. Acupuncture, which is centuries old in China, but it took on new meaning here in this country. The doctors that went to China with the president were very impressed by it. They thought it was mind over matter, but they came back believing differently. It'll be interesting to watch and see exactly what will happen with it.
I tell you, these old civilizations, you know, those people in China, Japan, the Orient, generally, have been crowded, millions and millions, teeming millions of people for thousands of years. And they get along pretty good. They have learned how to live together with so many people jammed into one place without going nuts, which we haven't learned yet. And they have all kinds of tricks, little things that they do, mostly being polite to one another, respecting another man's wishes, and being nice to everybody. And they have all sorts of old-fashioned medicines that maybe we can learn something from. The technique of acupuncture. I don't think I dig it, but I guess it's sticking needles into your nerves and fixing it so you don't feel anything. Is that it?
No. From what I gather is that you have certain flows through electrical impulses flowing through your body, streams. And whenever anything goes wrong with your system, supposedly it's because of these flows being disrupted. And they have certain parts of the body that they will put needles in and break up like an ice jam or a flow.
Oh, well, I got the wrong idea completely.
No, it doesn't numb anything. It doesn't hurt, I understand. But it's done some marvelous things. Some of the baseball players that have been suffering with their limbs, you know, sore arm. Sudden Sam McDowell, a baseball player, he thought he was finished, and he went for a treatment, and he says he's better than he's ever been.
Well, for heaven's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, let's have some more of that, huh?
If it works, yes.
Well, if it must be, if he's all right.
I think, you know, the Chinese doctors, I read something by a Chinese professor, doctor, and he said, we can't explain it. We don't know really why it works, but it has for centuries, and it's a very difficult thing for the Western mind to accept something that can't be fully explained.
It's not so. How about all the myths of religion?
Well, I'm talking about doctors now.
Well, okay.
Well, which doctors, too? How about voodoo? They can explain that.
And I have seen that voodoo work, boy, mm-hmm. in the African jungle. And I never questioned it.
Works in Baltimore, too.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Then how come you lost the game? Serious.
So, Richard, it's your turn to sing.
Okay, this is a song that was kind of a big hit this past year. I'm doing it because very rarely do I get a request from a member of the orchestra. And Mickey Gravin requested this song. He said, hey, kid, don't ever do that again. So for Mickey, I'm going to do it.
Okay. And I'll stick needles in his ears so he won't hear it.
No, in his lip.
I remember to this day the bright red Georgia clay, how it stuck to the tires after the summer rain. Will power meet that old cargo? A woman's mind told me that it's so. Oh, how I wish we were back on the road again. Dog named Boo, traveling and living off the land. Me and you lightly into big L.A. The lights of the city port settling down in my brain. Though it's only been a month or so, that old car is bugging us to go. Oh, how I wish we were back on the road again. Me and you and a dog named Boo, traveling and living off of land. Me and you and a dog named Boo, how I love being a free man.
How'd you like that, Mickey? Terrible.
Yeah, it takes a lot of guts for a trombone player who by April 30 is going to be out of work to say that. He'll never work in this town again.
Well, he's got a lot of company around here. We're all going to be there in the Apple line, huh?
No.
No?
We're all going over to Ethel's house. Earl's got a job.
The other day, I think it was last Sunday, in the New York Times, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, who is president of the World Wildlife Fund, the international board, and I have the honor to serve as one of his trustees, wrote a piece that was published in the New York Times that I'd like to read a couple of lines from. It's very timely. Our world today stands in grave danger of losing many animals and plants which have given joy to countless generations. They need not be lost if we manage our affairs properly, for it is man's own interest to see that the natural world, which is the root of his own existence, survives for his children and their successors. He says, meeting this challenge has become one of my principal preoccupations, and it is why I am proud to be president of the World Wildlife Fund. The fund is only 10 years old, but we feel that we have already made our mark, helping to save both living species and the wilderness areas which are their home, and which are so threatened by man's population explosion and the technological revolution. To the end of 1971, the World Wildlife Fund has contributed $7.3 million to 550 projects in 60 countries. This effort stimulated governments and authorities to contribute an equal amount to this great task. The prestige achieved by the World Wildlife Fund has enabled it to use its influence to promote the launching of national conservation programs in several countries, and to inspire second thoughts about development proposals which could have endangered wild nature and would often have been of less economic benefit in the long run. Natural areas have been purchased and rented, or the authorities persuaded to protect them all over the world. In the United States, the rich New Jersey wetlands have been purchased so that they will remain a haven for bird and water life, and provide a satisfying and restoring glimpse of wild nature for our urban humans. The famous national parks of Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Congo, Zambia, Ethiopia have received grants, and we have supported 8 projects in Madagascar, which is a unique biological area with distinctive plant and animal life. Cousin Island in the Seychelles has been purchased to save its rich bird life. This is just the briefest of glances at some of the things we have done. So what, you might say? Does this mean anything in terms of human existence? We believe, said the prince, it has a great deal to do with human beings. The life we know today evolved over millennia through the complex interplay of natural forces. They form a web, some obviously supporting others, others not so obviously doing so. Man has been able to control much of nature and other life, but he has not risen above dependence on them. Crops and domestic animals and many of our medicines are direct products of the natural world. I personally believe we have only scratched the surface in finding natural medicines. Even products like petroleum, which we now see as much as a threat as a blessing, comes from natural processes. Oxygen comes from photosynthesis in the seas and plants. Soil is enriched by natural waste as it recycles it. Plants feed the animals we eat. The species and land the World Wildlife Fund has saved are perhaps insignificant strands, but there is nothing insignificant about the fact that over 900 species of animals and 20,000 plants are in danger of extinction. This is the time to be concerned. Man is in danger of losing vital supports for his own life. We have chosen the natural world as our special sphere of activity at the World Wildlife Fund, but we give our support to those tackling other environmental problems, of which the human population explosion is the real root. The World Wildlife Fund has directly called on all heads of government to stabilize their populations as soon as possible. Within this century, only 30 years to go, today's almost 4 billion people will become nearly 7, with all the consequences of pressure on land for food and other resources. Either we bring this under control, or there will be disaster, almost certainly within the lifetime of our children and grandchildren. And those were the words of Prins Bernhard of the Netherlands, president of the World Wildlife Fund. And here in America, the Commission on Population Growth and the American Future told President Nixon just recently and Congress that much of the population problem could be solved in America simply by enabling parents now to avoid unwanted childbearing. We could probably bring it down to where the population growth rate would be zero. And please try to understand, that's the ZPG, zero population growth, does not mean that we advocate nobody having any more children. That's not the story. What we're after is a zero population growth, no more than what we have, which, of course, we'll never achieve for a long time. Even if everybody were to have just one child more, we would be another 60 or 70 years before we got to it. No, all the ZPG is asking for is that we achieve a zero population growth. Our growth percentage now in America is 1%. Now, that doesn't sound like very much. But 1% per year of the total population of America, which is better than 200 million, is 2 million. 1% is our growth, 2 million a year. That's 50,000 every week. That's what we're after, to stop that. Not have no children at all. Just keep the population at 200 million, which is already too much. Okay, we'll get back to some music. And these last 27 days, we're going to play a lot, boys. Would you do a little Dixieland with me? Lots of our friends have got the tapes working, and they want to tape everything we play. So I'll take the banjo, and you take the low road, and I try to finish with you.
What's the term for that shaking chord? That run you do?
Yeah.
Is there a certain term for that?
That run?
Yeah,
it's called scared.
Yeah, see, shaky run.
Only 27 more days to go?
26 now.
Oh, my God. And I'm getting used to the banjo.
Well, I'm sorry, Ben.
Is there anything we can do?
I'll be seeing you. I'll be seeing you. When every time you tie your laces...
with you when your dial is set for informative highlights and regular news on the hour over the CBS Radio Network.